Please turn now to Luke chapter 23, verses 50 through 56, on page 884 in the Pew Bible. Page 884, Luke chapter 23. Verses 50 through 56. This is the word of the Lord. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. This is the word of the Lord. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Christ died for us and our salvation. And he was raised for us and our salvation. But he was also buried for us and our salvation. As we have reflected on the burial of Jesus, we have noted the emphasis on his body. We first considered Joseph of Arimathea, who was looking for the kingdom of God, who asked for the body of Jesus. And we said that he was looking for the kingdom of God in the body of Jesus. And we also considered the women who had followed Jesus from Galilee, who saw where he was buried and how his body was laid, who then returned and prepared spices and ointments. And noting the connection between this verse and the Song of Songs, we said that these women also were seeking something, or rather someone. We said that these women were seeking a bridegroom. They were seeking a bridegroom in the body of Jesus. In the burial of Jesus, we find an emphasis on his body. Not simply because it is a body that you bury, but because of what his body represents. What is the relationship between the kingdom of God and the body of Jesus? What is the relationship between a bridegroom prepared for marriage and a body anointed for death? We find that relationship in the church, The church for whom Jesus died. The church for whom he gave up his life. The church which is his body. The church which is his kingdom. The church which is his bride. But it is a strange image. Since the body of Jesus is here dead, the body of Jesus is here lifeless. Are we really to see in this corpse the church? Though some would accuse us of acting like a corpse. Are we really to see in this corpse the church? But that question itself reveals in part the significance of his burial. But the burial of the dead is an expression of hope. The burial of the dead is the anticipation of something more. Of something more than a lifeless body. Of something more than a corpse. And of course, we know what that something more is. Resurrection. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Good Friday gives way to Holy Saturday. Holy Saturday gives way to Easter Sunday. The lifeless body that was buried will be raised in glory. We've noted before how Luke's narrative concerning the burial of Jesus reflects in several ways his narrative concerning the birth of Jesus. And one of you pointed out to me what is perhaps the most beautiful connection here of all. We see it in verse 53. We see it in the tomb. We see it in the tomb where no one had ever yet been laid. What could that have to do with his birth? Where do we find Jesus before his birth? Where do we find any child before his birth? We find him in his mother's womb. But what is different about this womb? What is different about the womb of Mary? Luke chapter 1. Verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? Mary's womb is a virgin womb. A womb where no one had ever yet been laid. Luke draws our attention to the relationship between the womb of Jesus' conception and the tomb of his burial. A place where no one had ever yet been laid. But why? Consider the wonder of a son born from a virgin womb. Here then we are prepared for an even greater wonder. The resurrection of a son from the grave. Raised to an indestructible life. In this way, the grave becomes a womb. The grave becomes the womb of a new birth, the womb of a new creation. As we consider the body of Jesus in the tomb, as we saw the church resting in that body, we said that the church on earth may be compared to a body in the grave. We said that the church on earth was the body of Jesus in the grave. This is not the way most of us would like to think of ourselves. Nor does it sound like a place that would be attractive to others. But consider his grave. It is no mere grave. It is a grave from which we shall all be raised. It is a womb from which we shall all be born again. Is this not why the church is called our mother? In the burial of Jesus, we find hope. The hope of resurrection, the hope of new birth. The burial of Jesus leaves us in anticipation of something more. But before we reach that something more, before we reach the fulfillment of that hope, the fulfillment of that hope in the first verse of chapter 24, we still have the last verse of chapter 23. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. And so we must wait. Now this too connects the narrative concerning Jesus' burial to the narrative concerning his birth. In Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Jesus, His parents bring him to the temple, where they are greeted by Simeon, a man righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in verse 39, we read that they returned home from the temple, having performed everything according to the law of the Lord, and in a similar way. In Luke chapter 23, after the death of Jesus, we find Joseph of Arimathea, a good and righteous man, looking for the kingdom of God. And as Simeon took up the child Jesus in his arms and blessed him, so Joseph of Arimathea takes up the body of Jesus in his arms and buries him. Then we read of the women who followed him, that on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. At Jesus' birth, we hear of all things being done according to the law of God. And now at his death, we hear of what is being done according to the same. At his birth and at his death, we hear of the law being fulfilled. But what are we to make of this? How are we to understand it? We may at least say that the entirety of Jesus' life was marked by the fulfillment of the law. But let us not suppose that it is a coincidence that the body of Jesus rested in the grave on the Sabbath day. And let us not suppose that Luke is here merely reporting to us what these women happened to do. Let us instead see that even after his death, but before his resurrection, there was something to be fulfilled. And we see it in the observance of the Sabbath day. We see it in the command to rest on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath marked the end of the week. But the Sabbath was more than one day of rest out of seven. For the Sabbath marks not only the end of a week, the Sabbath marks the end of history. That Sabbath is the eternal Sabbath. It is the substance of which the weekly Sabbath is a shadow. Jesus' body resting in the grave on the weekly Sabbath. It is the anticipation of the eternal Sabbath. It is the expectation of the eternal Sabbath, which begins with his resurrection from the dead. Is this not why we now observe the Sabbath on the first day of the week? day of his resurrection, because with it the eternal Sabbath has begun. Jesus resting in the grave on the Sabbath day. It was not only the end of a week. It was the end of a world. It was the end of his work, through which he has opened the way to glory. Truly, he was buried for us and our salvation. But what kind of work is this? The work of resting in the grave. It is not what we think of when we think of work. But that is because the work of the Sabbath is not ordinary work. It is work of a different kind. It is work of a different world. How then may we describe this work of Jesus resting in the grave? How may we understand it as the fulfillment of the Sabbath? Perhaps we may put it this way. Jesus resting in the grave was the fulfillment of patience. Without patience, one cannot keep the Sabbath in this world. For on the Sabbath day, we put aside the affairs of this world. On the Sabbath day, we confess that there is something more important than this world. More important than work, more important than success, more important than pleasure, more important than family, more important than health, more important than life itself. On the Sabbath day, we let go of life in this world. On the Sabbath day, we let go of the life of this world. On the Sabbath day, we die to this world. What more then is needed to persuade us of this than the body of Jesus resting in the grave on the Sabbath day? Died to this world. Though he has not yet been raised. Here then is the work of patience. Here is the fulfillment of patience. As Jesus
waited on that day for God to raise him from the dead. For God to bring him from that weekly Sabbath to eternal rest. He was patient for us. That we might become patient in him. If the church in this world is the body of Jesus in the grave, then what may we say of our work on the Sabbath day? The work of the church in this world on the Sabbath day is the work of patience. Patience that is expressed by resting from the work of this world. Patience that is expressed by resting in the body of Christ. This is why we gather together, that we may do both, that we may rest from the work of this world, that we may rest in the body of Christ. Patience should not be expressed by appearing lifeless in worship. But it should be expressed by appearing dead to the life of this world. For here we wait for the life of the world to come. And here we do enjoy that life in part. For here it is not a corpse that greets us, but the resurrected Christ. And we hear his voice echo in the tomb, calling us from beyond the grave, calling us to rest, calling us to glory. Let us then attend to this work of patience and prepare to meet him. Amen. Let us pray.